Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next hour, you're in Finland. And today is June 19th, 2006, and on this date, in 1986, Len Bias died. The Washington Post had a big article about him today and about the aftermath. For those of you who may not know the history of this, or may not be old enough, it's the 20th anniversary of the death of Len Bias. He was a big star at the University of Maryland basketball team and was chosen by the Boston Celtics and partied. And I think 2 days after he was selected, he was partying and he had done some cocaine and he died. Now, this is a guy that was like 6'8", 250 pounds or something. An amazing physical specimen. I think he was the number one draft choice. He was certainly one of the top few and expected to be a major star in the NBA. And he died of a cocaine overdose. And so the 20th anniversary is today. And that kind of shook the world, shook the sports world for one thing, and shook Maryland basketball, but also shook anybody who was thinking about messing around with cocaine, because people that thought it was a recreational drug learned that some recreational drugs can kill you, and that ain't good. And we're going to talk tonight a bit about right-wing talk shows, and in particular the reaction to the Ann Coulter book. But before I get to that, I want to review a few items that are in the news kind of quickly. So we'll spend the first segment on some of this stuff that's in the news the last few days. A really interesting study was in the Washington Post today, and it points out that the rate of rape in this country has dropped substantially and continually for the last 25 years. And while one rape is too many, it's really quite amazing the change between 1980 and 2005. And rape is down 85%. 85%. Now, admittedly, a lot of rapes don't get reported, but they don't think the percentage has changed. If anything, the percentage of rapes that get reported, they think, may have gone up. So that an 85% drop is unbelievable. To give you an idea what that involves, it's number of rapes per 1,000 people in the U.S. It was about 2.75 per 1,000 people, and it's dropped to less than 0.5, half of one person per 1,000 per year. Violent crime overall is down 59%, so that, in fact, rape is actually down quite a bit more than violent crime. It's really pretty amazing. Second item that was in the news today, it turns out Americans have been more generous in the last year than they ever have been before, primarily because of Katrina. Individuals gave almost $6 billion in disaster contributions in just the last year. And corporations gave $1.38 billion. Huge. You know, there was a big, like $1.5 billion were given after the tsunami. Americans really outdid themselves on this one. Bill Gates announced late last week that he was going to step down in 2 years. 2 years from July, he's going to step down from Microsoft and basically become a full-time philanthropist. You know, he has the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has about, I don't know, $35 billion in it or something, or $35 billion committed to it. So he has major initiatives going with all kinds of people and organizations and countries in Africa where they're working on education and health initiatives. And he does a lot of good work. And so he's going to devote full time to that within 2 years. And so he's a young man, but he's going to step down from day-to-day operation of Microsoft in just 2 years. And he did this to let the markets get used to the idea that he won't be there long-term, and then to allow for the transition within Microsoft so that people can take over the kinds of things that he does. Another item that's in the news that I just do not get, and that is that there's a pet cemetery in California, not far from San Francisco, that is going to exhume the bodies of over 1,000 animals and move them to another side of the cemetery. It turns out that the cemetery owner had been burying people's pets here, and he expected the developer who was leasing him the land to sell the land, and so he would eventually own the land, he claims. Now it turns out that the guy has no intention of selling the land, so when the lease is up, he wants the land back, and the pet cemetery's buried pets in it. And so they interviewed one woman who is putting off, quote, "I'm putting off making the appointment to move my dog because it's horrible. It's incredibly sad to have to exhume your dog's bones when you thought this was permanent." Well, I agree that it'd be nice if you didn't have to move an animal's bones. But this is a woman whose dog died 18 years ago. Now, I used to have the world's greatest dog. And so you haven't got to talk to me about dogs. I now have cats. And over the years, I've lost dogs and I've lost cats. And I've buried them. And that's just the end of it. But not in a pet cemetery. Of course, I grew up on a farm, so my relationship to animals may be a little different than this lady's. And my relationship to burials a little different. We would just go out back and bury them. In fact, I have a cat now that's buried not far from where I live. And when I move from that place, though, that cat will stay there, and I won't ever be back to visit. You know, cats are not children. They're not people. Neither are dogs. And while I love my pets, I don't confuse them with the same emotions I have towards my children. And so this idea that you take them to a pet cemetery is interesting to me to begin with. But then to take it a step further and argue that it's a terrible tragedy to have to move your pet's bones or something, I just don't get it. So if anybody out there does get it, you call me up and let me know exactly what it is that I'm missing. There's another piece that was in the papers over the weekend, and that is that the concept of the valedictorian is losing some of its cachet. Of course, we're coming to high school graduations, and every class has a valedictorian. That's the person who has the highest GPA in the class. And if the GPAs are tied, everybody has a 4.0 or something. Multiple people have a 4.0. You use some other criteria for breaking that tie. But there's one valedictorian and there's one salutatorian, the person with the second highest academic credentials. Well, it turns out now that some schools are declaring anyone that has a 4.0 or higher, because it turns out with advanced placement credit, you can get A pluses or you can get extra points. And so there are people graduating with 4.17 GPAs. I think that's nuts. I think 4 ought to be the limit. But anyway, there are people above 4. And some schools are now providing the term valedictorian to anyone with a 4.0. One school here in Virginia has 41 students graduating this year out of 600 and some, I guess it is, who have a 4.0 or better. So they will have 41 valedictorians. So on the resumes of these people and the high school application, I mean the college applications and all, these kids will all claim, all state that they're their class's valedictorian. It's like grade inflation, you know, it just kind of cheapens it. And as someone who finished something like 20th in my class, I know what I'm talking about. Let's see. Oh, the Democrats, actually Democrats and Republicans, kicked William Jefferson, the Democrat from Louisiana, who was caught with $87,000 of cold cash in his freezer. They've kicked him off the Ways and Means Committee. They asked him, the Democrats asked him to step down. He refused. And the full House voted to kick him off. Of course, he's not been indicted yet. He will be, I assume, but he's not even been indicted yet. So some people are crying that you know, he's innocent till proven guilty. I would say $87,000 found in your freezer is getting close to proving you guilty. Another lobbying firm in D.C. has disbanded itself because of these investigations into the K Street Project, which was Tom DeLay's baby in part, also Rick Santorum and Grover Norquist. And this is Copeland Lowry, it's called. This is the second lobbying firm this year to fold because of these congressional scandals. The other one was the Alexander Strategy Group. That had very close ties to Tom DeLay and to former lobbyist Jack Abramoff. And the Abramoff scandal is going to go on all summer, and there'll be more people indicted, and the other shoe will fall. Bill Clinton gave a speech or a memorial at the at Columbine, at the site of the future memorial for the Columbine victims in Littleton, Colorado. There's a plan they've got for what this is going to look like. And so the groundbreaking took place where the 12 students and the teacher died. That's over 7 years ago now. And the interesting thing here is that one of the people in charge of it, the chairman of the memorial, announced, well, first of all, they need $1.5 million to build this memorial, and they're $350,000 short. So the head of it, Bob Easton, announced that the Raccoon Creek Golf Course was promising to match the next $50,000 of contributions that were given to the fund. And when Bill Clinton got up to speak, he said, "Bob, you can tell Raccoon Creek to get the check ready. I'll match it." And Clinton gave $50,000 on the spot, so they're $100,000 closer. NASA has set July 1st for the date of the shuttle launch. Of course, we've only had one shuttle flight since the Columbia disaster. And so the U.S. space program has really ground to a halt. And this will be our second flight. And let's hope it comes off without a hitch, because that's only 2 weeks away. That will be great. And let's see. Oh, the other news. We've got two soldiers who were taken hostage, apparently. We knew that they might be hostages. Apparently now it's clear that they've been taken hostage, and the people that have captured them have threatened to do different things to them. And, of course, this is kind of the military's worst-case scenario, is when your soldiers get captured, because they can toy with them, and they may eventually behead them. But certainly there's the possibility of torture. There's the possibility of exploiting them for propaganda purposes. It's just a messy scene. So maybe with a little cooperation from Iraqis around the area, we'll actually figure out where they are and manage some kind of a raid to get them back. We shall see. President Bush has come back from Iraq and said that his gut feeling on the new prime minister, Nouri al-Maliki, I think that's how it's pronounced, is very positive, and he thinks he's a guy that can get this done. And so we'll see. Of course, I don't know that he has much choice but to say that he thinks this is a guy that can get things done, because he's the guy who's, we have to put all our eggs in his basket. He better get it done in the next few months, or we got more trouble. But so Bush felt like he was a strong leader, and we'll see if that's borne out. And when we come back, I'm going to move on. I've got plenty of other things that are in the news that I can talk about, and frankly talk about in some more detail. But when we come back, I'm going to turn to the flap that's been caused by Ann Coulter's new book. Of course, she has written a book and made some inflammatory statements in the book that have everybody talking. And it's really a distraction, because this whole thing about the 9/11 widows, that's a mistake to be worrying about that. What people ought to be doing is engaging with Ann Coulter about the content of her book, because it is, for the most part, drivel, and these
silly arguments and conclusions that don't make a lot of sense. She doesn't understand liberals and liberal points of view. She's got a caricature of them that she then skewers. And it may be entertaining, but it's way off base.